I want to share with you a message tonight that the Lord began to speak to me, not just the small things. Do you remember the old saying, don't sweat the small things? You know, don't sweat all that small stuff. I don't know about you, but it is easy for me to get caught up in all the small things. Just doing the diddly little things that maybe don't mean a whole lot, but are things that I just think are important. And I think the Lord wants us to know that what may look small in His eyes are important, but He doesn't want us to just get caught up in all the small things. So I want you to look at a scripture that the Lord spoke to me about through that. Spoke to me through that scripture. Oh, I'm getting all caught up in my prepositions here. It's in Isaiah 49. Go ahead. Isaiah 49, verse 6. Have you ever read a scripture and you think, I know I've read that. I've read through my Bible so many times, but it's like, what is this? And this was one of those. This is a scripture that points to the Messiah. It is spoken about Him. But how many of you know that we are in Christ? We are in Christ. You know, it actually talks in the Word more about us being in Christ than it talks about Him being in us. We are in Christ Jesus. So I believe this word can apply to us since we are in Him. This is what it says. It is too small a thing, O coming Messiah, for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. I will make you a light that will bring my salvation to the Gentiles, those that don't even know about me, all the way to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you so much, Lord, for revelation from your word that causes it to become alive. And it is never finished. It is never finished. There's always so much more you want to say to us. So tonight, will you speak to us, Lord? Not just generalities. And certainly, Lord, I pray it won't just be information. It won't just be interesting, Lord, but it will be something that changes me on the inside so that I can be all you want me to be, to walk it out. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Go to the next one, please. Jesus demonstrated, while he was here on earth, a great love, a compassion, and care for his own people. He cared about them, but he didn't stop there. He never stopped there. And I think this is something that absolutely befuddled the disciples. It certainly befuddled the Pharisees. Everyone, why is he paying attention to people who are not even of the house of Israel? I mean, how in the world, why could he care? If he is really the Messiah, he should come for us. Does that sound familiar to you? You know how we get so wrapped up in the me and mine, us four and no more, you know? And who cares about all those people out there, you know? I'm going to tell you what, he cares. God the Father cares, and he sent Jesus to earth, not just for Israel. He said, remember the scripture we just read, it is too small a thing. You know, he wouldn't have just sent Jesus for the house of Israel, you know? And let me tell you, it's an easy thing to say, and I do know it's true that Jesus loves me, and he would have come if it was just me. But you know, the truth is, that's not all there is. For God so loved who? The world. He loves us all that he sent his only son. Go ahead. I wanted to give you some examples of some of the things that show Jesus' care and compassion for people outside his own circle, outside those people that he should be the most related to, his own kind. First of all, his title that he most used of himself, he called himself the Son of Man. Others called him the Son of David. Jesus called himself the Son of Man. You know, he wanted us to understand that he was the Son of all of us. He was the Son of Man. Second, he healed a Roman centurion's servant. Now, can you imagine being a devout Jew and hearing about that? The Romans, I mean, they were the ones who were holding them in captivity, who treated them cruelly. The ones who took advantage of everything, and he healed a Roman centurion's servant. Why should he care? Another thing is he healed a Canaanite woman's daughter. Now, the Canaanites were the people who caused all kinds of problems for the children of Israel, even taking the land of Israel. And he had a woman who came to him and said her daughter was sick, and he healed her. But I guess that is one of my favorites in a way, because, you know, she was the one who came to him and said, Jesus, will you heal my daughter? And you remember he said to her, it is not right to give food except to the children. You know, You know, only the crumbs are left for the dogs. And she said, but Lord, if we're dogs, you know, let us have it. And that was the worst thing you could say about anybody. But I believe Jesus. You know, sometimes I believe when Jesus spoke, we don't have videos of Jesus speaking. I think we'll get to see it in heaven, you know? But I think when Jesus said this, he was looking at that woman, and I think he must have had a twinkle in his eye. Come on, come on. Don't quit pushing me. Don't quit pushing me. If you keep pushing, I'll do what you say. And he healed her daughter. Then the last one, he revealed himself to a Samaritan woman. Boy, you know, one of the things it says about that encounter, it said Jesus had to go through Samaria. Now, Jews wouldn't do that. They would take long routes around to keep from going through the area of Samaria. Why? Because they hated the Samaritans. They were half-breeds. They were the people that they didn't trust, they don't like, and truthfully, I think they couldn't have cared less if they went to hell. But Jesus had to go to Samaria. And not only did he have to go to Samaria, he went for a woman. Oops. You know, rabbis of their day, which Jesus was, didn't even speak to women. And here was a Samaritan woman who was maybe a prostitute. Ooh, golly, he was really crossing lines there. But Jesus never found a border that he wasn't willing to cross. Do you know that? He was demonstrating to his disciples and people that were paying attention again and again. Guys, I came for you. I did. But it's not just you. It's not just you. God cares about people that the world considers to be outcasts, that nobody wants to have anything to do with. God cares, and Jesus demonstrated it. Go ahead. Jesus knew his disciples and followers expected him to come only as the Jewish Messiah, the son of David. He knew that. He knew that. But he kept trying to just do pictures. You know, Jesus was great at show and tell. Do you realize that? He was really good at show and tell. He didn't just talk about principles, he showed. So he was constantly showing them, it's not just us that is important. Go ahead. His last words, the last things that he said to his disciples was not, you go and learn to love each other. You learn to forgive each other. You've really messed up in that department. Come on, guys, let's get it together. His last words were, take the good news. And he was very specific about where we needed to take it to. I've done this demonstration around the world, and I need a helper. Sir, what's your name? William. Oh, my dad. Come on up. Oh, does my heart good. This month, he's been gone 18 years. Okay. For those of you who don't know, I've struggled with arthritis for a long time, so I need an arm to hold on to. Okay, Jesus said, start where? Jerusalem. Right where you are. He said, take the message to Jerusalem. And it's very important that we take that message to the people that are around us. That our family, those in our city, those who are same kind of people as me, understand about Jesus. But he didn't say to stop there. I like the King James in this instance because it says, both to Jerusalem and to Judea. Who are the people who are the Judeans? People who are basically like us, but they do have their differences. You know, I think, have you ever been to New York or Boston? I lived for 3 years in California. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, they ain't like Texans. They really aren't. Land of fruits and nuts. Even them... That's our Judea. People who are just like us, but not really. So he said, go to Judea. Then I think that the disciples probably came close to dropping their teeth when he said the next one, because he said, big one. He said, take it to Samaria. Now, like I said, they didn't like the Samaritans. The disciples probably could have handled the Great Commission if he had left that one out. Really? Do we have to take it to people we don't like? To people we make fun of? You bet. You betcha. If I have time, I'll tell you some stories about that one. But then he said, don't stop until you take it. Okay, this will be the big one. He said, take it all the way to the ends of the earth. He's got a lot bigger stride than me. William. Now, what is the ends of the earth? The ends of the earth are those people who have never heard about Jesus. You do know, don't you, that there's still over 2 billion of them with a B on planet Earth who have probably never one time heard the name Jesus. Never one time heard the name Jesus. And I think he's saying to us today, folks, just like he did those disciples, don't get caught up in the small stuff of your own people. If it's just us four and no more, if just my kind of people, me and William and us, that's too small a thing. That is too small a thing. It's not that God doesn't care about it, but he knows that's the easy part. And let me tell you, I believe what he expects is that should be natural. You hear me? It should be a very normal thing for us to care about people who are like us. And it should be a natural thing for us to share with people who are in our own world. It starts getting into where we really have to trust God when we start getting out there. Go into the land of fruits and nuts. Go into the people who are our Samaritans that we don't like. And then going out there to the ends of the earth. God, we got to trust you. And he says, yippee. That's where I am. Come on out there. Thank you, William. I'll call you again in a minute. Thank you, sir. Jesus wants to take us out beyond our comfort zone. Go ahead to the next one. I've kind of talked about, I get ahead of myself. It's easy to get involved with our family, our church, our city, our community. And we should. But don't stop there. Don't feel like you've really done it when you've done that part. Folks, that's the small stuff. That's the stuff that should be easy, should be automatic, not always easy. I don't want to make it sound that way. But you know, you don't have to cross a lot of barriers to do that. God wants to stretch us beyond our barriers. Go ahead. The Father would say to us, if we do that, it's just too small a thing in his sight. It's too small a thing. He wants to stretch us. My dear mother, who sends her love, she was out on the streets today. She started a street church 35 years ago, and it's still going. She says to me, Carolyn, one of the reasons God sent you back to the States is because my vision was too small. I believe God is always wanting to stretch our vision, and I like to be a holy provoker. I want to let you know, if your vision is not a lot bigger than you can fulfill, it's probably not from God. Did you hear me? If your vision is not so big that you cannot fulfill it, you can't reach those people, those areas that God wants you to touch without his enabling you, without his doing something supernatural, then it's probably not God's vision for you. He wants to stretch our vision and keep pushing us on beyond and beyond. Go ahead. He wants us to bring salvation, his salvation, to the ends of the earth. And you know what he is waiting on? Everybody talks about Jesus coming soon, right? That's a good thing to talk about. It's not going to happen till we finish, until we take his salvation to the ends of the earth. Go ahead. I want to tell you about some of my exploits and what God's had me involved in. This has been a fun thing that God has really showed me. In 1994, the Lord sent me to Ukraine, where I lived for 12 years and worked there. And during that time, the Lord did a strange thing. It took me a long time to understand it. He sent a number of people from South Africa to work with me. Wonderful people. At one time, I had 7 South African pastors working under my leadership, and they really don't recognize women in leadership very much. That was really a lot of fun. They are really good friends of mine, and we work together to this day. In 1996, they invited me to come down to South Africa. where I began to speak to churches about, guys, why don't you come and partner with some of these new people that are getting started in planting new churches and help them to get started. So they did that. Many partnerships were formed. I think they have about 74 partnerships that were formed between Ukrainian church planters and South African churches to help them get started. Well, guess what? It's really gone the route. Most of them are very well established. So in 2010, they invited me down to South Africa to help celebrate with them what God had done in the partnerships so that they could begin to see what their next step was. So I preached this kind of message in every church I went to. And I preached this to South Africans and Ukrainians together. Go ahead. There was a conference in South Africa with partner pastors from Ukraine and South Africa together. And that was just so much fun for me because I got to have a lot of my family all together in one room. Go ahead. I want to show you one of the real examples of what God is doing now. These are two partners. The guy that's on the right-hand side of that picture is a South African pastor. Great man who has a real vision to work, reach the world. The guy that's on his the other side of him there is a great man, a Ukrainian pastor who, because of his relationship with Peter, the South African, he got a vision for reaching the world. And now Volodya, Pastor Volodya, who's a good friend of mine from Ukraine, his church is doing more to reach the world than most American churches I know of. They are really reaching out there. His church is building a missions training school in Kyrgyzstan, right in Central Asia, right next to Afghanistan, so that they can train people there to reach the unreached beyond that. So now what they are doing is not just planting churches in Ukraine, they are planting churches and ministries from Ukraine in other areas of the world. So now these two guys are partnered together, not just for the church in Ukraine, but for the missions planning training in Kyrgyzstan. That's when it gets excited. Because you see, it's never finished. It's never finished. When you get the church planted in Ukraine, folks, it's only another place along the way for pushing those borders further and further. Go ahead. This is me speaking to that group, and I like this because, you know the old song, the world behind me, the cross before me, I have decided to follow Jesus. I think in a way that that verse is a little bit wrong. I think we need to understand that the cross is behind me. It is what not only holds me, but folks, it's what motivates me to move on because the world should be ahead of us. It should be the world that we know the cross is there. It's changed my life. And then we should take that cross into the world. The cross behind me, the world before me. That's what God is pushing us on to. Go ahead. You can never be satisfied with what we've done to reach the world until the job is completed and Jesus comes. You know, there's a verse that says, when Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? Do you know that that word can also be translated faithfulness? Will he find faithfulness on the earth? Will he find us busy about what he's called us to do? I believe God wants to keep pushing us. Go ahead. I want to show you one of my, this has been so much fun for me. This is a young man named Sergei Kravchenko. And Sergei was a student with us in 1994 when I was directing the Pastor's Training Institute. But he was in the army, and they would not let him finish. He only stayed 6 weeks, and then he left, and we completely lost contact with him. Well, he went on to finish his army training. Then he got a little bit of training, and he started working with his church. They sent him out, and he has planted now 3 churches in Ukraine, and he got in contact with the ministry over there, and I found out, you know, Sergei really had an open heart. This is what he told me. He said, Carolyn, in those first 6 weeks, you taught about missions, and I got the seed. And he said, that seed started growing in my life. So now, the church that he is pastoring in northern Ukraine, they just changed the name of it. It used to be called Hope Church. They just changed the name to the Great Commission Church. Because he said, as I see it, Carolyn, the job that we have is to finish reaching the world. We are going to take that great commission and we are going to do it. He told me the other day, he said, I want you to know the fire that's in you to reach the world is now inside me. This young man is now going not only in Ukraine, he is firing up churches in Ukraine. He is now going into Poland and Russia, and he's on his way to China. And he said, every place I go, I get a hold of pastors and say, Pastor, you have to have a vision for your church to reach the world. That guy is multiplying himself. I told him when I was with him this last trip in September when I was there, I said, Sergey, I'm gonna give you some disappointing news, but some good news. I don't think God is going to send you out as a missionary. And he said, what? I said, no, I believe God has given you favor with pastors and a message that pastors will listen to. I believe God is going to use you to touch many people's lives in many churches and to get lots of churches involved. And he said, okay, I'll do that. So he is really moving, and to me, that is so exciting to see. He said, God had to take you out of Ukraine so he could give me the ministry that you have. Yippee, yippee. God's multiplying ministry. Go ahead. This is me preaching in his church on being goers and senders into the world. William, you want to come up again? This is the map that I take into the world, and I'm going to use it a little bit, although you can see it up there too. Got one of the person who wants to come help? Brave guy. Oh, here's one. Okay. Maybe we ought to turn it upright, do you think? Maybe that would preach, but anyway. There we go. I love this map. God bless the Southern Baptists. They are so good about providing resources. These are great maps that I've taken all over the world, given away many of these, because you can not only use them for show and tell, but you can put them down on the floor, you can get around it and pray over it, you can do anything you want. And it doesn't matter that it's in English, you can say the red country or the green country and they can find it. But I wanted you to see it's the same map that Sergey has. I've got to send him another one because he told me I took that map to Poland and gave it to a church. So I said, I'll send you another one. I want to show you something real quickly. Everybody see this box right here? Anybody know what that box is? It's called, in missions terminology, the 1040 window, because it's a window from 10 degrees north to 40 degrees. And it has within it, they've done lots of research, in that box right there are 97% of the unreached people of the world. 97%. Now, what does that mean for us as Christians? What does that mean about where we should be targeting today? Huh? Anybody have any ideas? If we're going to finish the job, we got to target here. Is that easy territory? It's the head of all the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus, still lots of communists going on there. That's hard ground. But is my God a victor? Is your God? Can he reach into those hard places? Yes, he can. And what we are doing now in the ministry I work with, we are mobilizing churches around the world to reach into this hard place. So, you know, as Americans, folks, I'm sorry, we can't get in a lot of those countries. You do know that. But there are people from other cultures who can do that. So we are mobilizing the churches all around the world to focus here. And it's happening. Go ahead to the next slide. I want to show you that. Guys, can you stand there for a few minutes? It's okay. Okay. I commissioned the goers in Sergey's church. People who really feel like they are called to take the message out. And that's really important. You know, Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to do what? Send laborers into his harvest field. But I have really understood that there are two kinds of laborers that he has to raise up. One of them are the goers, the people who said, I know that's me. These are some that I prayed with, but go to the next slide. I've also found that you have to have senders if you got goers. Did you know that in the American Army today, for every one soldier on the front line, there are 67 people behind them that enabled them to be on the front line? 67-1. I found in missions, not a bad ratio. Having people who are willing to stand behind you. You gotta have people who are willing to say, I will pray, I will give, I will encourage, I will do everything I can so that they can be out there. This church has done that for me now for 32 years. And I really appreciate that. It's important to have senders. Go ahead. Reaching our own really is too small a thing. Wish I had a Minnie Mouse voice. Too small a thing. When he called us to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. We got to get that vision that makes us think, oh God, I don't know if we can do this. And he says, hallelujah. When you finally get to that point, you are where he wants you to be. Because he wants you to be in a place that you know if he doesn't enable us, we can't do it. And he loves that. Go ahead. What does that mean for me? I'm talking about me personally, Carolyn. I want to show you something. I will be 67 next month. And there are a lot of people who say, oh, Carolyn, you've got so many good things that you've been involved in and all this. Why don't you just sit back and enjoy it? Oh, you know, the problem is I have too many examples in my life if that's not how it goes. Lou and Harold Nichols are among them. My mother, who will be 90 and was still out preaching on the streets this morning. So I decided I had to get a new passport. My old passport died. And as I was going through the form to get a new passport, I realized they will now allow you to get a passport with extra pages. And I thought, okay, Jesus, I got at least 10 more years that I can still be out there. So this, folks, is my passport with extra pages. Because in the next 10 years, I want to fill this thing up and have to get more pages added. That's what God has done, has said to me, Carolyn, I've enabled you. Don't stop. And I see every time I take a step for him, he's there to enable me. Go ahead in the next slide. Let me show you. I want to show you where I'm going to be going next. God's got me out there in some new places and going to hang me off the end of the earth because I'd never been there. I had never been to West Africa, but that's the doors God's opening up for me. There's the countries right now this summer. I'll be going to Benin and Cameroon. If you look up here, I'll show it. Can you ink that up a little bit for me? If you know, here's Nigeria. Here's Nigeria. Benin is over on the west side, and Cameroon is on the east side. It'll be in those two countries. Then, after the first of the year, I will be going back to Ghana, which is this blue country right here, and Nigeria, the green country. Interesting, Benin and Cameroon, both French-speaking. I have never ministered in a French-speaking country. You know, I know how to say croissants. That's about the end of it. But that's okay. And then, I've also been asked to go over on this side to Uganda, right there, which I think is a fun place, since that's where Idi Amin was. Anybody remember Idi Amin that killed so many Christians? That's one of the, that has, these, do you know these countries? Folks, these countries right here that are in this part of Africa, do you know this is the most Christianized continent in the world? There are more Christians in sub-Saharan Africa, below the Saharan Desert, than any other part of the world. Some of these countries have as many as 70% Christians. Now, what do we need to do? We need to give them the vision and the strategy that they can. All they have to do is go, and they're there. So that's what I'll be doing, is training pastors and leaders how their churches can reach up here. Go ahead. Then after that, actually in the fall, I'm going to be going back to Armenia, which is right here on the edge of the 1040 window. Little country, train the pastors there back in the early 90s. And when I first started talking to them about reaching people out of the world, they said, are you kidding us? We're a poor country. And I'll always remember when I started talking about their Samaritans, I asked them, who are your Samaritans? And they looked at me with these blank faces. I knew who it was, but I wasn't going to tell them. And I finally had one brave soul who said, the Turks. Because in the early 1900s, the Turkish people tried to commit genocide against the Armenians and almost wiped them out, killed almost a million of them. But I said, God says to you, reach them. And guess what? Now, after about 10 years since I started going and helping to train them, they are sending missionaries from Armenia to Turkey, Iran, and Azerbaijan and Georgia, all the countries that surround them. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? And they found out we can do it. One more. Don't live your life too small, saying, what is the Lord saying for you? In praying, in giving, and in going to the ends of the earth. Some of you may be saying, okay, I'll pray, I'll give, but me go? you know, today you can go, folks. You can. And I'm going to tell you, thank you, guys. You can fold it up or just leave it, and I will. It'll change your life to get out there and see what God is doing. I want to encourage you, don't be afraid of it. If God begins to say go, it'll be a life-changing thing for you. And I've got here some prayer cards I want to hand out. Darla Bronowski told me long time ago, she had one of these that I gave out in the early 80s, and she said, Carolyn, I've prayed for you every day since. Is that good or what? I want to just encourage you, please pray for me. I can't do it unless I have people who are standing behind me praying for me. Have we got those? We can pass them out. I want you to have one so that you can give. And if you know other people, like send one to Callista, please, so that people can take this good news to the ends of the earth. Let me share one thing with you before I go. Some of you remember my little sister, Leah. She is about to become a grandma for the first time. Her oldest daughter is pregnant, about to give birth. Her children, all four of her children, the youngest is 18, the oldest is 27, they've all been on multiple missions trips. And her number three child, who is 20 years old, is now working in New York on the streets as a full-time job. I think, yippee, yippee, you know? God's doing it not only through me, but he's multiplying it through the children. I never had any, but I've always claimed those kids for my own. Thank you, and I want to just encourage you folks, live life on the edge of the big things, of believing God for the impossible. Those people out there that the world says are impossible to reach, they are not impossible for my God. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share.